Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Thank You Very Much, Bring Them Down, and Holland.
I'd like to talk about a documentary and then a couple of thrillers this time around. Thrillers, I must say, a very, very varying quality, but we'll get to that in a moment. Let's start with the documentary. Thank You Very Much. Oh my golly, that seems to me to be a rather bland title. What in the world does it mean? Okay. It's actually a good movie. I had a good time watching it. It's about Andy Kaufman. You can call him a comedian because he was that, or you can call him a performance artist because he was that, in my opinion, and in many people's opinion. And Thank You Very Much is an overview of his life and his career. It's directed by Alex Braverman. Now, Andy Kaufman is a very interesting figure, in my opinion. He was probably best known as a star of the sitcom Taxi many years ago. Not that many years ago, but quite a few years ago. But he also was a stand-up comic, and he did various other things. And as his career progressed, he became more and more daring in the kinds of things that he did. And again, it kind of veered away from certainly stand-up comedy or comedy acting, as in Taxi, and it became a very strange kind of performance art where he did these very peculiar things. For example, one of the things he did was to get into wrestling. Apparently, he rather always liked professional wrestling, and he liked to sort of pretend that it was real. In fact, when he was very, very young, when he was a kid, apparently he thought it was real, that the professional wrestlers who got up there and slammed each other around and all this stuff were really doing all those horrible things to each other. And that fascinated him, apparently. And so after he had achieved some fame and some success as a stand-up comic and certainly as a comic actor in Taxi and so forth, he got involved in the wrestling world. However, and this is an example of his performance art, he said, my gosh, if I wrestle men, I'll always lose. I'm not big, I'm not strong, so I guess I'll have to wrestle women. So he got into this thing about wrestling women. He would offer a prize to any woman who would last in the ring with him beyond a certain point. But he didn't only do this. He also started taunting women. At a time when feminism was very much on the rise in the United States and elsewhere, he would say awful, insulting things about women in public all the time and then go out and fight them in the ring. So that's an example of what he did. Was he serious about all of this? Was it all just a huge joke? Or was it all just an attempt to create a kind of controversial art? Probably, I think, all three of those things. So that's an example of the sort of thing that Andy Kaufman did. He called himself a song and dance man, but he was really something much different and much stranger than that in all sorts of ways. Then he did something else, which really veers over into the sort of the realm of performance art. He developed an alternate persona. He developed a comic character named Tony Clifton. And Tony Clifton, his thing was that whereas Andy Kaufman in his public pronouncements, except for the wrestling stuff and the feminist stuff or the anti-feminist stuff, he was actually rather meek and mild in his persona. Tony Clifton was the opposite. Tony Clifton was nasty, brash, insulting, crude, and all the things that Andy Kaufman apparently in his own life was really not. And the thing is that when he took on the Tony Clifton persona, the Tony Clifton character, he would really become this character. He would become rude and obnoxious and just awful and abusive in all kinds of ways. So this is the thing. We have a guy who apparently in his own life was really kind of meek and kind of retiring and kind of shy and all of this stuff. And in both his wrestling activities and in his Tony Clifton persona, opposite of those things, kind of a way of unchaining himself, you might say. Well, this is interesting part of the documentary because at one point, the Tony Clifton character really helped to tank the actual Andy Kaufman's career. He insisted that Tony Clifton had to be the actor in some episodes of Taxi. And then when he showed up to actually tape one of these, the Tony Clifton character was his obnoxious self who refused to do any of the things he was supposed to do, ruined the taping, ruined the episode, and pretty much ruined Andy Kaufman's own career for a while. The interesting thing here for me, one of the interesting things, there are a lot of them, is that Andy Kaufman sort of tanked his own career as a part of his career. And whether he really intended this to happen in a complete way or whether it sort of got way out of control and went farther than he expected, nobody will ever understand that. Partly because Andy Kaufman then died. He died when he was only 35 years old, a very, very young man. He had never been a smoker. He, for a very large part of his life, had been a non-smoker, a non-drinker. He died of lung cancer. So it was a very tragic thing. And then, of course, given what his career had been like, a lot of people thought that he had faked his death. And there are probably people out there even today who believe that Andy Kaufman is alive somewhere out there and that he faked his own death. So anyway, all of this is covered in the documentary. It's a very well-made documentary. If you're interested in Kaufman, let me remind everybody that there's a movie made quite a number of years ago in the early 2000s called Man in the Moon, by the very great filmmaker Milos Forman, which is a fictionalized version of Andy Kaufman's life starring Jim Carrey. So you can also look at that. I think it's an excellent movie. When it came out, I thought it was the best movie made in that year. Thank You Very Much isn't that good. It's not as original as a documentary as Andy Kaufman was as a comedian and performance artist, but it's a really interesting look at a really interesting and in many ways very problematic career. Thank You Very Much is the name of the movie, and I think it's well worth seeing. I really had a good time watching it. And now for our couple of thrillers, beginning with The Good One, which is called Bring Them Down. It was directed and co-written by Chris Andrews. And this is a movie which deals very much with sheep farming. It's an Irish film, and it deals with Irish sheep farmers. And let me say right at the outset of this little comment on Bring Them Down that this is a movie which I don't think any animals were mistreated in the making of the movie, but in the story of the movie, many, many animals are very badly mistreated. So if that's the kind of thing that is really going to hurt you and damage you and make you upset, then stay away from Bring Them Down. I can handle that sort of thing reasonably well, as long as I feel that there's no actual cruelty going on to actual animals in front of the camera. And I think that is the case in this movie. But again, the story has some horrible things going on in it. So what we have here at the center of the story is an Irish family. And yes, they are sheep herders. And they have a whole lot of sheep which are up in the hills. These sheep, they're way, way up there, and they graze around. And then when the family needs some of the sheep, then they go up and they bring one down, or they bring a few down. That's where the title comes from, Bring Them Down. However, they get into a feud with another sheep farming family who live in the same general area. And what happens is that apparently this other family has stolen some of the sheep. And one of the members of our main family in the story goes to get the sheep back, retrieve them. They're actually about to be sold at an auction, but they do not succeed in doing that. So the feud between these two families escalates. And then it turns out also that something very horrific is going on, and I'll just mention it very briefly. Somebody is going out into the mountains, getting a hold of sheep, cutting their legs off to sell the legs, and they're doing it while the sheep are still alive. So again, if you don't want to see a story about that sort of thing, then definitely stay away from this movie. But that's another thing that's going on in the film, and that causes this feud between the two families to really escalate, although it's really not clear at first exactly who in the world might be doing this. Maybe some outside people, maybe some horrible sadists. Hard to say who is doing this. In any case, what the main family at the center of this movie have to do is something that people in that area have not done for 500 years, which is to bring the sheep down, bring them back down to the actual family farm rather than leave them up in the hills. And that's where the title comes from, Bring Them Down. All kinds of things happen from there. And we have people stalking each other with shotguns, and we have wild driving, and the things that very, very often happen in thrillers. And again, Bring Them Down is very much a thriller. It's very much a thriller about Irish sheep farming, but it's a very effective thriller. It's extremely well made. The cast is very good. We have Christopher Abbott. We have Barry Keoghan. We have Colm Meaney, who is really excellent as an old disabled father of the main family at the center of the story. And we have all kinds of things that go on in thrillers and in violent thrillers. There's a lot of death. This is the kind of movie where... if somebody gets so furious, they say, "Bring me his head." Somebody actually does that. So, yeah, it's a violent movie. It's an extremely well-made movie. It's really beautifully directed by Christopher Andrews. This is the first feature film that Christopher Andrews has directed. And I have to say, I think that he really, really, really has a tremendous amount of talent. It's a beautifully made movie. I kind of wish it just weren't so savage, which it really, really is. Now, one more really important thing I have to mention about Bring Them Down is that the story is not told in a linear way. It starts with a horrifying car crash. Again, this is a very, very in-your-face and fairly violent movie. So we have some wild driving, and we have people pleading with the driver, "Please slow down," and we don't know why this is happening. We don't know how this is happening. We aren't even sure who's in the car. And we expect, once the opening titles are over, that we're going to find this out right away, but we don't find it out right away. It takes quite a bit of time before we find that out. And then, as we watch the movie, we realize that the film is really not being unfolded in chronological order, the story that is. It's jumping around in time. We're seeing some things twice over from different points of view. It's that sort of movie also. I found it fairly coherent. It's not all that difficult to follow. And again, I'll repeat one more time. It's a beautifully acted movie, a beautifully directed movie, but it's very, very savage. So anybody interested in the world of thrillers and the world of kind of non-linear storytelling, then this is definitely a movie to check out. It's really, really interesting. But one more time, I'll say it. Pretty darn savage. And now the thriller I don't like. And in fact, nobody much likes it. It's gotten very bad reviews, and I think deservedly so. It's a movie called Holland. Again, another sort of fairly bland title. It was directed by Mimi Cave from a screenplay by Andrew Sadrowski, and it stars Nicole Kidman. Okay, good old Nicole Kidman, good actress. And we have Matthew McFadyen, who I think is probably most familiar to people from the excellent series Succession. He plays another major role. Gael Garcia Bernal is also in it in a major role. So good actors. However, Holland is not a good movie. In fact, it's not even a little bit good movie. It's a pretty awful movie, in my opinion. And again, it's gotten terrible reviews, and I just thought it was worth, since it's streaming all over the place, people might be tempted to look at it. I just wanted to add my voice to the chorus, which is warning people to really, this movie is really not worth your time. I looked at it, but that's my job. Oh, anyway, here's what the movie is about. It takes place in Holland, Michigan, not Holland, Europe, but Holland, Michigan. And it's a very, very picture-perfect little town. And our main character, played by the wonderful, usually wonderful Nicole Kidman, lives there with her husband, who is an optometrist, and with their son, who's in his early teens. However, the husband, Fred, he is an optometrist. He seems to be going away on a lot of business trips. And this makes his wife, Nancy, suspicious. What is going on? Does an optometrist really have to keep going to conferences and going out of town for meetings and whatever? Okay. So she starts snooping around his business, snooping around their home. And she starts to find what she feels are clues that maybe something is going on here. Maybe he's having an affair. Maybe it's something worse than that. So she gets together with another teacher at the high school where she teaches. She teaches what we used to call home economics. And she gets together with a shop teacher played by Garcia Bernal. And he starts helping her snoop around. And the next thing you know, they're snooping on Fred, and they're following him around, and they're poking into his things, and they're doing all these different things. And eventually it starts to look like maybe it's worse than having an affair. Maybe he's a murderer. Maybe he's even a serial killer. Okay, so the movie obviously escalates in the seriousness of things that it deals with. I think Holland is meant to be a comic thriller. And one of the reasons I think that is that Nicole Kidman, who's a pretty good actor, does a whole lot of her scenes as if they were comic scenes, even when they don't seem to me to be funny at all. So it's really not clear what the movie is exactly after here. Maybe it's just bad acting this time around by Nicole Kidman. Maybe the movie does think that it's a comedy. It just is not a very funny comedy. Anyway, that was one of the many problems I had with the movie Holland. Also, the story just becomes increasingly hard to believe, and none of the performances, except maybe Matthew McFadyen, are really that good. It's just a very unsatisfactory movie in all sorts of ways. Years ago, I had an interview with Nicole Kidman. I talked to her at the Cannes Film Festival, and she said she was going to take more control of her career and be engaged more with daring and challenging projects. And for a while, that was really true. Those days appear to be gone forever. This is such an ordinary movie. It's just not only bad, but it's ordinary. And in fact, Nicole Kidman seems to be in everything nowadays. So there goes the idea of the selective career and the challenging career and the career that's going to really advance the art form of cinema. No, 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 afraid not. Holland is a bad movie all around. Don't go to Holland. That's my advice for this week. And that is my somewhat mixed message story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, or should I say, for which we thank you very much, as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films are Thank You Very Much, Bring Them Down, and Holland.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.